come to other people's classes. I know I should. I'm sorry. But generally, I'm milking the cow. And my helpers are away. Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 80, text number 18 through 26. So we'll go through the, but we'll say the first one together, and the rest I'll just say. Tam vilokya chito durat. Priya paryanka mastita. Sahas. Sahasotaya chabyetya Dovyam paryagrihin muda Tambilokya chito durat Priya paryankam astita Sahasotaya chabyetya Dovyam paryagrihin muda Tambilokya chito durat Priya paryankam astita Sahastotaya chabyetya Dovyam paryagrihin muda Tam, him, Vilokya, seeing, Achyuta, Lord Krishna, Durat, at a distance, Priya, of his beloved consort, Paryankam, on the bed, Astita, seated, Sahasa, immediately, Uthaya, rising, cha, and abhyetya, coming forward, dovyam, in his arms, paryagrahit, embraced, muda, with pleasure. Translation. At that time, Lord Achyuta was seated on his consort's bed. Spotting the Brahman at some distance, the Lord immediately stood up, went forward to meet him, and with great pleasure embraced him. Text number 19. Sakyu Priyasya Anga Sangati Nivrita Prito Vyamuchan Abhibundan Netravyam Pushkarakshana. The lotus-eyed Supreme Lord felt intense ecstasy upon touching the body of his dear friend, the wise Brahmin, and thus he shed tears of love. Text 20-22. Are we doing it all together? Is that how they do it? Atopavesha paryanke swayam sankhu samahanam upaharitya vanan chibyasya pada pada vanan jani agrahit chirasarajam bhagavaloka pavanam vyalimpa divya gandena chandana guru kunkumai kupai sura bibir mitram Kati Pavila Bir Muda Achitra Vidya Tambulam Damcha Swagatam Abravit. But Lord Krishna seated his friend Sudama upon the bed. Then the Lord, who purifies the whole world, personally offered him various tokens of respect and washed his feet. O King, after which he sprinkled the water on his own head. He anointed him with divinely fragrant sandalwood, agaru, and kumkum paste, and happily worshipped him with aromatic incense and arrays of lamps. After finally offering him betel nut and the gift of a cow, he welcomed him with pleasing words. Kuchailam malinam shamam rujam damani santatam devi parya charat sakshad Chamara Vyajanenavai. By fanning him with her Chamara, the divine goddess of fortune personally served that poor Brahmin, whose clothing was worn and dirty, and it was so thin that veins were visible all over his body. Antapura Jano Drishva Krishna Mala Kirtina Vishmito Buddhati Pritya Abhudutam Sabhajitam. The people in the royal palace were astonished to see Krishna, the Lord of spotless glory, so lovingly honor this shabbily dressed Brahmin. Kim anena kritam punyam avadutena bhukshuna shriyahinena lokesmin dahitena damena cha yoso tri lokaguna shrinavasena sambhita Paryankastam Sriyam Hitva Parisvakto Grajano Yata. The residents of the palace said, what pious acts has this unkempt, impoverished Brahmin performed? People regard him as lowly and contemptible, yet the spiritual master of the three worlds, the abode of the goddess Sri, is serving him reverently. Leaving the goddess of fortune sitting on her bed, the Lord has embraced this Brahmin as if he were an older brother. Om Gyanatimrindasya Gyananjanam Shalakaya Chakshuramanitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So this is another beautiful pastime of Lord Krishna's. Krishna's pastimes are so wonderful. And every one of his pastimes has some different aspect to it. This is amazing how Krishna is shedding tears upon embracing or touching the body of his dear friend who's dirty, who's got dirty clothes on, but he's just overwhelmed by love for his friend. This is Krishna. You know, Krishna's just made of love, really. Everything he does is for love. And everything he creates is done out of love. Even though the material world is a place of misery, it's done to teach his children a lesson so that they can learn to love him. So Krishna is so kind. And one of the reasons why he offers so much respect, it would appear, because Prabhupada hasn't written any comments on any of these verses. Of course, this isn't Prabhupada's translation, but anyway. So Prabhupada didn't comment on this, but Sudama was a Brahmin. So Krishna holds in great respect the Brahmins. The Brahmins are very dear to the Lord. And there's many verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam where different incarnations of the Lord, different forms of Krishna, give great respect and honor to the Brahmins. There's one in the fifth canto, chapter 5, where Rishabhdev is instructing his sons, and in that chapter, Rishabhdev says that, to me, no one is more worshipable than the Brahmins, that the Brahmins are my representatives, and if one offers food to the Brahmins, that is better than worshipping me. So the Brahmins are very dear to the Lord. Actually, to be a Brahmin is not so easy as Srila Prabhupada. He created Brahmins, but when he gave devotees the opportunity to become Brahmins by giving them a sacred thread, it was just the beginning of the process of becoming a Brahmin, because a Brahmin is supposed to be the representative of the Lord and to be the representative of Krishna, to be recognized as by Krishna as his representative. One has to cultivate all these qualities that are very difficult to cultivate, like forgiveness. It's not so easy to be forgiving sometimes. Or purity, you know, we're trying to be pure. So purity, it takes some time. To chant with love is a sign of purity, but to come to that stage of chanting with love is not so easy. I heard the example given that in the beginning, when we chant Hare Krishna, we're chanting japa. So in the beginning, it's like, you know, if you're drilling through the earth, in the top part is the sand and the topsoil, which is very soft and easy to get through. And then after some time, the drill may come across some rock. And so sometimes it's like that when you're chanting, that it's not so easy to chant. One devotee what's his name? He was on Sunday night. He was talking about Prabhupada. I can't remember his name. But he's a very nice devotee. Anyway, he was saying how in the beginning it was very easy to be a devotee. But now he said it wasn't so easy, because he wasn't trying to put anyone off. We're not trying to put anyone off. We want everyone to become a devotee. But, you know, purity is not so easy to come by, because, you know, at least for myself, we have a long history of being in the material world, and our samskaras aren't so good. A lot of Indian people, they have different samskaras, and you know, it's easier for them in a way to take up Krishna consciousness. But for Western people, it's not so easy. But still, if you're determined, we have to be determined, we have to be faithful. So this is another quality that Krishna is exhibiting towards his friend, Sudama, who was his childhood friend. Krishna's a faithful friend. And we have to be faithful. So what does it mean to be faithful? It means that even though it may be difficult to follow the principles of Krishna consciousness, even though it may not be easy to chant 16 rounds a day, even it may not be easy to come early in the morning to see the deities, still, this is what faithfulness means. Even to wear the clothing that Prabhupada gave us, this is faithfulness. Sometimes, you know, we come into, I shouldn't say this, you know, there's 25 devotees there, and they're all, you know, the only one, you're the only one in Dhoti. It makes you wonder, you know, I mean, a Dhoti is an eternal, anyway, I shouldn't go on about this topic too much, but, you know, like shaving the head, Brahmins shave the head, you know, isn't that the sign of a Brahmin? I guess some of them had long matted hair with knots on their head. But when do we kind of think, well, Prabhupada's teachings were only relevant during the 70s and the 80s while he was around, but after that, maybe they're not relevant. So what is faithfulness? You know, it's a big topic, but at least faithfulness means at least, you know, chanting the 16 rounds that we vowed to chant. We know that Srila Prabhupada was very contemptuous of devotees that took initiation but did not chant 16 rounds. Once you get initiated, so, you know, faithfulness, like a wonderful example of faithfulness is Bharat Maharaj. Bharat Maharaj, who was the younger brother of Lord Ram. So when Lord Ram was banished to the forest, Bharat Maharaj, he was ordered by Lord Ram to sit on the throne. He didn't want to. He said, no, you know, you're the king, and I'm not going to sit on the throne. I'm not even, he didn't even live, actually, in Ayodhya. He lived somewhere else. And he put Ram's shoes on the throne. And that whole time, while Lord Ram was away, he imitated the activities of somebody living in the forest. All he ate was barley grains soaked in cow urine. That's all he ate for 14 years. So, you know, this is faithfulness, that he was completely devoted to his brother, and that, you know, he never wanted to put himself into a superior position. He wasn't vying for the throne or anything like that. He simply wanted to serve and respect his brother like that. So this is faithfulness. So Krishna has this quality of faithfulness to his devotees. Krishna's always faithful. I mean, how, you know, God is so wonderful that we can see that the culture of Krishna consciousness, even Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago, even though India's full of anomalies, you know, they kill female babies in the womb, or, you know, they abort them because they're females, there's so much rape, there's so much garbage everywhere, but still, Indian people, on the whole, you don't find people with some percentage of them who are devotees. They're the sweetest people in the world. And that's because Krishna appears in India, because that culture of Krishna consciousness is still there. That, you know, Krishna's crying, God is crying, embracing this Brahmin who's dressed in rags. So, you know, that's God. So, this is amazing culture, really, that the difference, so different from Western culture, so different even from Christianity, although a pure Christian, a Christian saint, might be crying tears of love, I don't know. They've canonized Pope Paul, I don't know how much love he had for Krishna. He ate meat, so I guess he didn't really have a whole lot. But, you know, Krishna's, if we compare how, you know, in Europe, all the churches are empty. 85% of the people are atheists, and they had some nice cathedrals. You can see them, Westminster Cathedral. Beautiful buildings. They had a lot of devotion at one time, I suppose. But now the churches are empty. But if you go to India, you go to Tirupati or somewhere, then, you know, practically there's a stampede. You have to be careful. In fact, they get stampedes. They have people killed in stampedes to go to religious festivals. You've got to be careful. So there's a difference. So that Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago, and still that culture is so strong in many ways. And of course, Srila Prabhupada is reviving it, which is very fortunate. But even, now they're building so many temples. They're not building too many churches in England. They're just trying to save the ones that are there from becoming coffee bars and yoga studios and restaurants. But in India, they're building so many churches. So Krishna consciousness is so vibrant. Because they give out free Bibles on the plaza. They have whole boxes of Bibles to give out for free. And people reluctantly take them and just leave them lying around on top of the garbage. Nothing against the Bible. The Bible has some very good things in it. But, the preacher there, sometimes he puts his book on the floor. He puts the Bible on the ground. I told him, this is a sacred book. Why are you putting it on the floor? We wouldn't put the Bhagavad Gita on the floor. That's an offense. So they're not taught. They're not taught because they don't have that love that Krishna consciousness provides. If you follow the process, automatically, after a long time, you might get a tiny glimpse of love just by Srila Prabhupada's mercy. Because Prabhupada, there's a verse, it's a nice verse, in the fourth canto, Tena smarantya titaram priyam isha martyam ye chanvada sutta surit griha vita atara ye tvad chabja naba bhavadiya padaravinda so gandhya lubdha kridayam krita prasanga. Anyone know this verse? Very instructive verse. Important verse. It says, O Lord, who have a lotus nail, if a person happens to associate with a devotee whose heart always hankers after your lotus feet, seeking always their fragrance, he is never attached to this material body or in a bodily relationship to offspring, friends, home, wealth, and wife, which are very, very dear to materialistic persons. Indeed, he does not care for them. So I'll just read that again, the part of it. If a person happens to associate with a devotee whose heart always hankers after the lotus feet. So that's Prabhupada. Prabhupada is always hankering after Krishna's lotus feet. So if we just happen to be lucky enough to associate with Prabhupada, then automatically we become detached from this material life because Prabhupada's potent and his books and his instructions are very potent. So therefore, just by his mercy, we automatically become detached. We don't want to be artificially detached and we don't want to be hard-hearted to our family, but at the same time, thank you very much. This is the process. This is what Krishna consciousness is actually all about, is becoming detached. And if we associate with Prabhupada, that is the culmination. So Krishna's love personified. Krishna's giving himself, as he says to Uddhava, Natata Pray Miyata Priyatama. That's a very beautiful verse that Krishna says, indeed, Uddhava, that no one is dearer to me than you are, nor the goddess of fortune, nor Shankarshan, who? Nor Brahma, nor Shiva. Nobody, not even my own self, is as dear to me as you are. So Krishna is saying that Uddhava is dearer to him than he is to his own self, because it's all about love. As Shiva Ramaraj would say, 'tis love that is to be tasted. So that is really, when we hear about Krishna and then we understand what love is, that Krishna's, he's created us to love him and he wants our love. And that love is the only thing that will satisfy us. So we have to develop love for Krishna. And of course, the Brahmins, as another instance where Prithu Maharaj is glorifying the Brahmins, a very nice verse. So in the purport to that verse, which I'll look it up quickly. It's an interesting verse, and the purport is very nice. How the Brahmins, as Prithu says, the Brahmins, whoever acquires the brahminical qualities, whose only wealth, everyone's probably heard me say this before, but the Brahmin's only wealth is, does anyone know? No. Keep going. No. It's, huh? No. No. It's what? No. Huh? Keep going. You got to get it right. Nope. Nope. Keep going. Huh? Whose only wealth is good? Good behavior. Okay. This is a nice verse. Okay. Whoever acquires the brahminical qualifications, whose only wealth is good behavior, who is grateful and who takes shelter of experienced persons, gets all the opulence of the world. I therefore wish that the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his associates be pleased with the Brahmin class, with the cows and with me. So the purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is worshipped with the prayer, Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmanya Aitacha. Thus it is clear that the Supreme Personality of Godhead respects and protects the Brahmins and Brahminika culture, as well as the cows. In other words, wherever there are Brahmins and Brahminical culture, there are cows and cow protection. I'm not bragging, by the way. I'm just trying to justify what I do. That's why I miss class every day. So now you gotta, in a society or civilization in which there are no Brahmins or Brahminical culture, cows are treated as ordinary animals and slaughtered at the sacrifice of human civilization. The specific mention of the word govern by Prithu Maharaj is significant because the Lord is always associated with cows and his devotees. In pictures, Lord Krishna is always seen with cows and his associates, such as the cowherd boys and the gopis. Lost it. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, cannot be alone. Therefore, Prithu Maharaj said, Sanu Charascha, indicating the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always with his followers and devotees. So that's interesting, because when Krishna, when Sudama came to Krishna, Krishna touched him and he started crying, and he gave him a cow in charity. So a cow was very valuable. We might not understand it, it might be not practical for us to have cows. But I was listening to a conversation when Prabhupada was, about 2 weeks before he passed away. And he said that actually, in Vrindavan, the sages, they would keep cows. And they would milk the cows and they would feed the tigers. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? They would feed the tigers. He said there's no envy, that everybody is gets along great, even the tigers and the humans and everybody else in Vrindavan. So, yeah, we can't really imitate that. But at the same time, you know, this is, like Prabhupada said, a sannyasi is a sannyasi. It means one who has no fear. He's completely unafraid. So, you know, come to that point, because we know that Krishna is in the heart of the tiger, Krishna is in the heart of the demon. So to be completely unafraid in any situation, that is a real sannyasi, to completely depend on Krishna. So I might not be taking sannyasi. Anyway, it's time to finish. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Yes. How do I know what?
You mentioned that we know that Prabhupada felt compassionate towards the devotees who took initiation and didn't chant the rounds.
Yeah, but he says clearly, he says they're not gentlemen. He says, you know, they take a vow and they don't fulfill their vow. That's what he said. All right, well, maybe that's the wrong word. I'm sorry. I mean, okay. Anyway, I'm not going to argue about it. Disgusted. That's even heavier.
One time, Chaivana Muni was meditating on the water in the lake, and some fishermen caught him, and they went to the king and told him what happened, because they were scared to offend Chaivana. So Chaivana told the king he has to give Chaivana's worth in charity. You know what the king thinks he's worth. And so the king says, I'm going to give $500,000. You know, something like that, or gold. And he didn't agree to that. But then a sage told the king to give Chaivana give a cow in charity.
Uh-huh.
And when the king did that, when he gave the cow in charity, Chaivana was satisfied, because he says, I'm not more valuable than a cow.
Uh-huh. That's very good. Nice. Hare Krishna. Anything else? Tama Hapuru, any corrections, comments? Hare Krishna. All right. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Oh, wait. Mother Gatmukhi, you have a question? Comment, question?
I've been reading Harisori Prabhu's diary, Transcendental Diary, and in there, in Vrindavan in 1976, Prabhupada is distinguishing between Jalagraha and Vigraha, and because he was so disappointed with the standard at that point, where the deities were being neglected. Some deities, when the curtains opened, they didn't have garlands on, or they had yesterday's garlands on.
Hmm.
So he said, Jalagraha means burden. He said, if we don't serve Krishna to the standard, then it'll just become a burden, and you will say, what did my spiritual master, the rascal, he left us with this burden, he said.
No.
He says, you can put garbage on a stone, and there will be no complaint. But this is Krishna. You must remember, this is Krishna. And the only way that we will be maintained our consciousness that this is Krishna is by following the four regulative principles and chanting 16 rounds daily. So that will make the difference between the vigraha becoming jalagraha, a burden, mm-hmm. simply a burden.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.